Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast episode
for
of
March
2016. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And my goal for this year is to try to watch the scariest. I have compiled a list of scariest movies of all time.
That you haven't seen.
That I haven't seen. And you.
And I am going through box sets of movies like I did last year. But most of them are horror movies, collections that are collections of old shitty horror movies, apparently. Some are decent, but most of them are in collections for cheap for a reason.
And hopefully there are some decent ones, because some of my ones I have to see are also on your list.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good ones. They're just, like, copyright-free.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of them are, but that doesn't mean they're good.
Yeah.
But Night of the Living Dead's good, and that's in there.
Yeah.
And last month I saw House on Haunted Hill, and that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, shit, I didn't even look how many movies I saw this month.
Okay, so last month I watched, toward the end of the month, I was watching a lot out of my box sets.
Yeah.
And they weren't that great.
Yeah.
So, I decided to treat myself at the beginning of March by watching a whole bunch of movies that weren't on my list.
Oh, jeez.
So, I watched like a lot at the beginning of the month that weren't on my list.
Oh, is this when Oscars time was around?
Too? Yeah. I watched, well, not all of these are Oscar things, but.
Well, I know some of them were nominated and whatnot.
I think I said a lot, and it's basically like two. But anyway, I started the month by watching The Martian with Matt Damon, because I felt like watching it, because I have a 3D TV, and I had a 3D copy of the movie. So I wanted to sit down and watch a good 3D movie since I haven't in a long time. So I sat and watched that one. And, in case you don't know what The Martian's about, it's about this space exploration on Mars. There's like a whole crew on Mars, and they're, you know,
Mars
getting samples and stuff like that. But there's this giant sandstorm that's going to wipe out all of their equipment and everything. So they start packing up to leave, and they're going to abandon mission because it's too dangerous. So as they're packing up their stuff, the sandstorm flings this, I don't know, hook or something right into Matt Damon, and he goes flying. And they're like, oh no, his suit got punctured and he's going to be dead, you know, like that. We don't know where he is, but we need to leave. So they all leave, and guess what? He didn't die. Apparently, like, the way the hook got him, like, the suit didn't have any exposed air or something like that. So then he went to the ship, removed it, like, sewed up his hole and stuff like that, removing the crap and whatever, but he's left on the planet alone. But everybody that's leaving from Mars thinks he's dead. So he's like on Mars and he's like, shit, no one knows I'm alive. I only have enough food and supplies and stuff for, like, he calculates how long it lasts and stuff. It's like only a couple months. So even if they do find out he's alive, they still got to send a crew, which takes like 3 months or something like that to send or something like that. I don't remember exactly how long it takes, but it's a long time. So he, like, finds different ways to survive and ration his food, and he finds out that he can grow potatoes out of, like, in his poop. So he, like, opens up all the poop packets that were in the you know,
receptacle
hazard
thing.
Yeah, hazard receptacle.
See,
he cracks them open. He makes a whole, like, there's a tent and the whole floor is like poop dirt. And then he, like, plants a couple potatoes.
And here I was thinking, like, because I always heard, like, people like, oh, he makes poop potatoes. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he probably just poops in a garden. But, yeah, I forgot they're in space. They can't just poop. Like, they just can't take their pants down and poop.
I mean, the ground on Mars is all sand, so nothing can grow in it. So he has to, like, make poop dirt. And then he, like, has to find a way to make water to, like.
It's urine.
No, he finds, like, a way to burn stuff.
Oh yeah, because condensation.
Like, yeah, because water is hydrogen and oxygen, so he combines them. Like, he makes a way to combine, and like, all, like, so then he, like, as he's going, he's like basically problem solving his way through the whole movie. He finds the old rover that was on Mars, and there's a camera, and he fixes it, and then, or the battery, that burnt out or whatever, he fixes, he switches the batteries, and then he's able to communicate with NASA. So they're trying to figure out a plan to get him off because his food supply won't make it. And it's a pretty good movie. I'm not going to give much away after that part, but
I was going to say, like, that seemed like a big.
No, it's not really. But then, like, gets to the part where it's like, oh, the, so like NASA finds out that he's still alive up there, and the crew is still coming home. So then there's the dilemma: should we tell them?
Oh,
because there's like there's nothing they could do.
Yeah.
So it's like they feel bad, but then it's like, do you really want them like trying to like find out, like, you know, like do their scientific stuff to get home, and then have this weighted that saying, "Shit, we left a guy like alone on a planet and stuff." But it was a pretty good movie. I liked it a lot. There was like a couple of interesting characters in it that I did not expect. Like, Donald Glover, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah, I didn't expect him, but he's like a crazy freaking engineer guy. What is it? Oh, I can't remember. But he's like in it for like a small part, and he's just like crazy. He's just like drinking freaking energy drinks and like doing calculations and shit like that. Just like. It's like that's
is weird. He on Mars or just work for NASA?
No, he doesn't work for NASA. He's a student.
Oh,
but he's like figuring out a way to, you know, because every I mean, since NASA is a government thing, within 24 hours of any information, they have to release it to the public.
Yeah.
So then the people find out, you know, the public finds out that there's someone left on Mars, and they had to like come up with a statement and stuff. But then like he's coming up with a way to try to save him and stuff, but. It was a pretty good movie, especially in 3D, because the landscape of Mars was amazing in 3D. It's very scenic and stuff. But yeah, that movie, I gave it a 6.5. It was good. I liked it.
Wow. I thought it would have been higher.
It was a little long, and there was like some lull parts, but, and there was like more humor in it than I thought there would be. But,
well, I mean, you add poop and potatoes, what else are you going to get? Humor.
Ha 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 ha. And then after I watched that movie, I decided to watch another 3D movie, and I picked up one around Christmas time.
Like Black Friday?
Black Friday. Yeah, I picked up San Andreas, the one with The Rock.
Yeah.
Wow, the 3D on this one is not nearly as good as San Andreas. But The Rock works for, like, he works with a rescue group that, like, people get stuck in the cliffs and stuff like that. He has a helicopter and he rescues people and stuff like that. And there's earthquakes, you know, because it's
along
California.
Along with San Andreas Fault. Right?
And then Giamatti, what is his name?
Paul Giamatti?
The guy from American Splendor.
Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti. He's a scientist and he found a way to predict earthquakes. So he's like, oh, you know, like, so he goes to, I think Hoover Dam or something like that. And he's like, you know, we're going to test it because there was like a couple tremors here and stuff, and they predicted and they're testing out the theory. And then the dam breaks open and they're like, oh,
From the earthquake?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's not like they just broke the dam for snow.
So they like, they figure out that, like, oh crap, our theory does work. And then they find out that there's earthquakes up and down the entire San Andreas Fault. Like getting bigger and bigger as it gets closer to Los Angeles.
Oh, so it's like a trail instead of a simultaneous thing.
Right. Okay. But there's aftershocks, so that kind of brings with it. So there's aftershocks and earthquakes get bigger and bigger. And it's like they're predicting the biggest earthquake ever recorded on scale hitting Los Angeles.
10?
It was like a 9.7 or something.
Jesus
like
Christ, that's a little high.
Yeah. So then he's like, they're getting the word out to tell people to evacuate the city and stuff like that. And The Rock's daughter is in the city.
Oh, that's...
So he's like, I got to save my daughter. And so there's like a whole lot of him trying to get to her and her trying to get to him. But like shit just keeps happening. Like buildings are falling down because the bases are getting weak because of all the water.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So there's like fires all over the place and stuff. It's a pretty big
disaster movie.
It was entertaining, but it could have been better. There was some cool stuff in it, but the 3D wasn't that great. But the movie was entertaining. It kept my attention the whole time. I gave it a 6.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I watched like 13 movies this month, so I don't know how many you watched.
2, 4, 9
Okay.
I'm going to talk about one, though.
So I watched those two 3D movies, like, basically right after each other to give myself a break from horror movies.
I watched every... No, no, I shouldn't say that. There were... Never mind. I was going to say, I watch almost all horror movies, but there's like three that aren't. First one I watched... Thank you, Tony, for lending me his Blu-ray copy of this. I think it was Blu-ray. I don't know. City of the Living Dead, which I found out when I was looking at stuff on IMDb. It's apparently, I can't remember the guy's name, and Tony was like, oh, I'm this, and because he knows so much.
Romero?
No.
I kept thinking it was Romero because of the dead.
Yeah, City of the Living Dead. But it's an Italian director, so it's an Italian sort of zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, not really, I don't know, it's not really a zombie movie, but it's apparently part one of a three-part trilogy of the dead type thing.
Hmm.
So the first one is, and the second one of the trilogy...
You watched?
No, they're on my list, but the third part isn't.
Hmm.
But
did you watch one and two this month?
No, I watched one.
Okay.
And I have the Blu-ray sitting right over there for number two. But, I guess he's like... From what I heard from Tony, it's just a trilogy in the theme style, kind of like you said about the Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of a theme, but not at the same time. Each movie is its own theme.
Yeah, but it just has a fucking type of theme to it. Anyways, what happens in this
kind
one?
Kind of like Cloverfield.
Sure. Yeah. 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 Lucio Fulci? Oh, God. Lucio...
Oh, I'm surprised you remember Fulci. That. Just kidding.
IMDb, man.
No, but I'm saying, I should know this. I'm like, how would you remember that?
I don't remember. I don't know. I can't... Anyways, City of the Living Dead. And I'm so bad at seeing actors and actresses and stuff. There's certain parts of this movie I feel really bad because I was going through, I'm like, who are these people now? Who are these? And I was reading stuff on IMDb and then like their message boards, and I go, oh, that was the person from this part. Shit, I'm stupid. But a priest at the very beginning of the movie hangs himself in the cemetery.
Jesus.
No one knows why, but he just goes out there and he just hangs himself from the tree. Which leads to suddenly the undead come to life. But they're not zombies in the normal way. They're undead, but the zombies will like, and the undead will just like, you'll just see them, and then they just blink out of existence, and then they appear like right next to you, and it causes, like, for instance, one of the undead was just staring at this woman, or this guy. Oh, God, I can't remember. Staring at, I think it was a guy, and his intestines just start coming out of his mouth.
Jesus Christ.
I know, it got pretty crazy bloody. Like, there were some pretty intense scenes. A guy gets a drill through his head, but slowly. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to lie, it was pretty bloody. There were some pretty creepy parts. But anyways, somehow some of these characters just know that that's the reason. Because there's a psychic girl that she actually, in her psychic, they were having a seance, and in her psychic vision, she saw the priest do this, and she got so shocked that she died from fright.
Jeez.
And then she comes back to life, and like, oh, I know what happened. We need to stop this. We need to figure out, because at the end of the night, like in the next morning, it was All Saints Day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was All Saints Day. Shit. They have to stop it before All Saints Day. Otherwise, all hell breaks loose, like, literally. So, there's, like, this psychic and this detective, and they're just, like, fucking trying to survive and get to this town. I'm like, I need to get this, they're living in the town, but, like, just get and fix this whole situation. I'm like, I don't know how they're gonna fix it, and without trying to spoil anything, the ending is very odd, but intriguing. It almost, I can tell you about it later, Jason, but mm-hmm. it kind of reminds me of the Ninja Sisters,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, weird. Okay, this is what this means. Wait, what? The end type thing. But I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was cool. I gave it a 7.5.
Nice.
So that one was on my list. I gave it a 7.5.
So I the first one I watched on my box set from this month was a movie called Gothic.
Tell them what the box set is called.
The box set is called Horrorlicious.
Horrorlicious.
9 movies on 3 DVDs. Over 13 hours of fun.
Horrorlicious.
Horrorlicious.
This is, must have been around the time that Fergalicious was out.
Yeah, probably. Gothic. Oh yeah, this is I just started this box set. Okay. So this is the first movie I watched out of Horrorlicious. It was Gothic, which I showed you like the first couple minutes of that episode.
That was the Mary Shelley one? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not yeah, yeah, Mary Shelley, the girl who wrote Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But anyway, this story is apparently about how Mary Shelley came up with the idea for Frankenstein.
But is it a fictional retelling or is it like a non okay. It's not nonfiction or anything.
Right. It's like a fiction story about a... I don't know. But it just... It was weird. Like, the way it started, I showed Scott just because I was like, this is fucking weird. There's a bunch of people getting off a boat, running around, and, like, guy picks up a bird and throws it, and, like...
Yeah, he put it like a goose or something.
But it looked like people were watching him to get off the boat, and they're like, oh, what's going on? And then, like, they get to the mansion, and they go in, and no one's there. So it's like, who the fuck was watching him get off these boats? But anyway,
probably the producer.
So they're I guess they're kind of like college kids or something. I'm assuming like that age of all these people, and they're running around this mansion, and they're like, oh, this is so cool, blah 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 blah. And it starts. There's a thunderstorm starts, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, this is a perfect time to tell ghost stories. So they start telling ghost stories back and forth, and like weird things just start happening, and. I'm fairly sure this watch is so long ago. All I did was write a lot of weird shit happens. What the fuck? There's thunderstorms and they're telling ghost stories. I think sometimes some of the people died and stuff like that. But there was very minimal references to Frankenstein.
Okay.
That it was like, really? How did she write Frankenstein from this? It was a ghost story. I mean, the thunder. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I suppose maybe the lightning, because that's how he came to life. And
they're talking about creating ghost stories, so it's like creating life and stuff like this. And it was like, I don't know, it was stupid.
Yeah, the beginning part, it was as if someone's like, hey, let's recreate A Hard Day's Night, but instead of in London, we'll do it on a set of a horror movie. Because yeah, because without music, because yeah, the guy picked up a bird and he threw it, and like the dogs are chasing him, and this little girl like stole her purse or something, and they chased her down, and he thought like, and then the kids ran away, and
yeah, there's just a lot of random stuff happening in this, and I was like, I don't know what's happening, and it was like,
but then
boring
too, yeah,
like I didn't know what was going on, and like the whole movie felt like that. And I just wanted to show it just the beginning so I could, like, I don't know, get someone to, like, back me up on the...
Yeah, it wasn't right. I don't know. No. I don't know how to, yeah.
I don't know. I gave it a 4, I guess. I was trying to comprehend what I was watching, and I was like, I feel like I had to watch it again, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
So I gave that a 4. The next one on the box set that I watched was a movie called The Devil's Nightmare.
Whoa. How can the devil sleep?
Oh. And where is this?
Does he sleep with a night?
Okay, hello? So at the beginning of the movie, this is like during World War II.
That's a nightmare in itself.
And there's the Baron. I don't know what... Is that like just the title of somebody?
Yeah.
But he had like Nazi flags everywhere and stuff like that. And people are like, oh, he's a Baron. His wife's having a kid and stuff like that. Like she's giving birth.
Yeah.
And he goes in there and, oh, please say it's a boy. And like, it's a girl. So he just stabs it.
Yeah.
He just kills the baby girl. And then it goes to the present day. And it's like,
oh,
what?
Jesus.
And it's like, oh, so the Baron has a bunch of people over to his house. And they're having
the current Baron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, the Baron that killed his kid.
Oh.
It's like years later. And now he's like,
old.
Having people over. And I was like, what does this have to do with what happened?
Uh-huh.
And I still don't know if I know why. But anyway, so there's a bunch of people and a bunch of couples and stuff like that in this house. And there's like this one slutty girl.
Yes.
Who just wants to have sex with everybody. And
that's who you bring over to your house for a party.
And she ends up sleeping and killing people. And she, turns out she's a succubus.
Oh.
So it's a movie about a succubus.
So you think that maybe that's the he killed the girl and then...
Yeah, there's probably some kind of correlation.
I hope he didn't sleep with her.
No.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a lot of nakedness and there's, like, girls making out with each other.
I might need to borrow
and
this.
Stuff like that. The movie itself wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible either. The reason why I'm saying it wasn't horrible, because all these movies are very similar, but this one felt a little different.
Yeah.
I gave it a 5.5, because it wasn't great, but it was better than some of the shit that we had to watch. I gave it a 5.5. Scott. Okay. The next movie I watched with you.
Okay, I had a movie before this. Now, years ago when it came out, I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake, and I had to look it up because I'm like, I know someone important was tied to it. And I looked at the director. Remake? I was a director. I'm like, this isn't someone that I know. Because the director is Marcus Nispel or whatever. I go, who?
Beale?
Michael, yeah. Oh, no. Michael Bay produced it.
Yeah.
That's why. But I saw that one, and then I saw the shitty fucking prequel one.
Which is the same movie.
Yeah, those are garbage. But I've never actually seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, any of them.
The original one's good.
Yeah. I watched it, and it was good. It really sucks for them. Holy shit! It's not a fair movie for the main people.
No, it's not.
It's just okay. So it starts with kids.
Yeah, explain the movie.
There's a bunch of kids who, and basically kids, college students, and they're driving their van into Texas because one of the kids. He's like, hey, this is my grandpa's old place. And they didn't say it or they did and I missed it. But, it sounded like the kid in the wheelchair and the other girl were related because she was like, oh, I used to sleep in this room. And I'm like, wait, is that your grandpa too? Are you cousins, brother, sister? You know, I didn't know. But anyways, they're like, yeah, we're gonna go hang out in this fucking house and just like, whatever, and one's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and this and this, whatever. But they get in the town, and people are just fucking weird in this town. And the guy's like, yeah, we're almost out of gas, though, so we gotta get gas. And the gas station stops. I'm like, oh, we don't have any more gas till tomorrow. Like, that's fine, we're close. So the guy and the girl are like, hey, we're gonna, you know, wander over to the swimming hole and fuck around because we're dating. But then they see a house a ways away, like, hey, let's go ask them for gas. So the guy goes into the house because he hears something, and the girl's like outside. She's like, oh, I'm just going to stay out here because it's scary. Well, out comes Leatherface out of fucking nowhere, hits the guy in the head with a fucking, I think, hammer, and just like pulls into a room and shuts the door. You're like, what in the Christ just happened?
Yeah, and that's what I love about it is it doesn't show it.
No, not right away, no.
So it's like, what the fuck?
So basically the movie is these people just go looking for help saying, hey, we just need to get some gas. Can you drive us into town? And they just go across this house and one by one, they go into the house and one gets fucked over. And one comes up and says, oh shit, this person's in trouble. I need to help them. And then he gets fucked over. And it's just everyone getting fucked over for they didn't do anything wrong. Although at the beginning they picked up a guy because he was a hitchhiker, but he was fucking insane. He was literally insane. Like, he took his, he brought some guy's knife and then just cut his hand open and took pictures and was like, I'm going to keep this. And lit a fire in their van. And he looked like he could have been like James Franco's dad. Like, in the remake, they didn't even do that part, but Jesus Christ. But yeah, it was cool to see. I like how they didn't, in the remake, they made a lot more sense out of things. In this one, they just said, nope. this is what's happening. We're not explaining anything. Like the grandpa upstairs and the fucking.
That's what makes things creepy is when you don't know why things are happening.
Yeah, because at one point you just notice, oh, he's wearing a different face. Like they didn't go into it. You didn't see him like take it off, put it on. He just suddenly, that's a fucking woman's face now. You know, but it was pretty creepy. I thought it was pretty cool. I kind of want to see the other ones. I know.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one.
I heard mixed things, but I heard the third one is really weird. But McConaughey's in it.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if it's good or bad. I've heard bad things and good things, so who knows? But I gave Texas Chainsaw Massacre a 7.5.
That's a good one.
Next one we watched together.
Yeah, Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, the Sam Raimi original.
Yeah. So I was telling Scott this, which is kind of funny because I haven't seen this one in like a long time.
Yeah.
And I saw this one because when I was young, I saw Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
So I saw Army of Darkness when I was really little, and I liked it, and it was funny. And then I'm like, I should watch the first one. And then I watched it, I'm like, this is creepy. Not realizing it was, you know, a horror movie. And
that evolved eventually.
Evolved into the slapstickness of Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
So it's like, I remember watching that and going, this is gross and scary. Because I was like middle school or something. And so I never saw Evil Dead 2 because I saw the Army of Darkness. I saw this one. And then everyone's like, oh, the second one's really good. You know, it's like the first one, but better. So then I'm like, well, I should re-give it a chance now that I'm an adult and understand horror movies more. So we watched Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And then we eventually watched the whole trilogy this month.
Yeah.
So I just figured we'll bundle them all together.
Yeah. Yeah, we can go. I watched all of them over a span of I don't know how many years, but I didn't see them in order either. I think I saw like Army of Darkness and I saw two, and I saw Army of Darkness and I saw one.
I remember seeing Army of Darkness when I was really little.
Yeah. But Evil Dead, it's again a bunch of like college types, age students. They're going to a cabin because one of the guys, his relatives, whatever. No. Fuck. I can't remember what it was. Was his uncle? Shit, I don't know. They go to a cabin because it's
cabin in the woods.
Yeah, it's a basic cabin in the woods. But I think they got it for cheap. I remember bad details. But the four of them go in there, and it's just a nice good time. Then suddenly, they find a book, which is the Book of the Dead. Jesus Christ, I can't.
Necrocom de Mortis.
Well, Necronomicon, whatever, fuck it. You know what I'm saying. Necrocomicon.
Comic-Con, yes.
The Dead Comic-Con. Yeah, but the Book of the Dead. And they read, well, he didn't really read parts from it, but because there was a guy researching it in that cabin, and he had his tapes, so they played the tapes, and it was just reading passages. Releasing evil spirits in the woods, ancient evil spirits, and the spirits couldn't grab people, take them over their bodies. And a lot of bloody things happen. A girl gets raped by a tree.
Yeah.
A lot of blood. And then, dismembering and stuff.
Just a crazy amounts of blood just like pouring.
Yeah.
Out of orifices of people when they get cut open.
Yeah. But, as an actual movie, Evil Dead was really good. Like a creepy horror movie because
yeah, it was creepy.
There's some creepy moments and it actually was a good horror movie to me. Yeah. Anything you want to add?
No, I agree. And then it was a lot creepier and gorier. And then the second one.
Oh, what'd you give it?
Oh, I gave the first one a 5.5.
I feel bad because I gave this a 7.5. I like three movies so far have been 7.5.
Yeah, I liked it, but it was I don't know.
Like I mean, if I had to buy any of the trilogy, I'd probably buy that one.
Yeah, see, I like the second one.
Did you?
Yeah. So then I didn't write anything on it, but basically the second one retells kind of retells the first movie, but rewrites it. And it does it really fast, like in the first 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes of the movie. They just run through it as fast as they can, but with only two people.
Yeah.
And then they lead up to, like, the second movie where the people who are looking for the Book of the Dead show up.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the four of them. No, three.
Three of them.
The three of them are trying to figure out how to stop it and stuff like that. And I never saw this. Like I said, I never saw the second one. So I don't know if it was the fact that I never saw it before. I liked it more. It was a little goofy in parts, but
yeah,
some of the special effects look pretty cool. Like mm-hmm. the bridge twisted like a hand and stuff.
Yeah, but at the very beginning, it's Bruce Campbell's character Ash with his girlfriend. But before the people show up, like the girl and the guy, like because it's her parents that were researching this. It's basically everything generic about, you know, about the Evil Dead, where like he loses, like he ends up taking a chance on cutting off his hand because it's possessed,
mm-hmm.
and then all this weird shit where he basically was like losing his mind. The fucking the deer head on the wall was laughing at him, and then the lamp started laughing, and then everything started laughing, and he was laughing. And it was mm-hmm. a really weird, like, it's basically like 15 minutes of Ash just losing his mind before those other two people get there, because by the time they get there, he's like, oh, he's covered in blood and like all this other shit, and like, what did you do? But yeah, then they eventually try to fix the whole thing by reading out of the book.
Yeah, they read the book, and then, oh, it leads into a cliffhanger to Army of Darkness, pretty much.
So we're going
to
tell you what the ending of 2 is, because it leads into it. They read the book, which suddenly makes this portal that's sucking, like, the villain.
It sucks it back into time.
It sucks it through time into the 1300s or the 13th century? I think it was 1300 something.
Bad at numbers.
Yeah.
And memory.
Yeah. So then, yeah, like, the end of the movie lands, he's like, what am I doing here, dude for dur?
Yeah, he's like, God. Yeah, so he's stuck in the past.
Yeah.
And then, well, I gave this one a 6.
I gave it a 6.5. Which brings you to Army of Darkness, which is the third one in the trilogy, where he's in the past now.
And this one just gets really goofy.
Yeah.
I just keep thinking about the mirror when it shatters.
Yeah, the mirror shatters.
And then there's, like, little reflections. There's, like, tons of little reflections, like, running around. He's like, I'm a giant. He's, like, trying to step on him and stuff. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah, he's back in time, and they realize that he's special. And like, oh, the book foretold about you coming. You're the mm-hmm. hero. So he has to go to the cemetery where the Book of the Dead is,
mm-hmm.
recite a passage, and then bring it back.
Yeah.
But in the whole Ash goofiness, he didn't remember the words, so he just kind of mumbled them. He's like, I said it.
Yeah.
But then he didn't say it right, so he brought the evil spirits and everything, the main evil villain to life, who he raised this giant skeleton army. Because he's like, I want the Book of the Dead because I can control everything and make everything die and whatever. So then the movie just turns into like a medieval war type movie, which was all right.
It was entertaining, but
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like I probably enjoyed the movie a lot more when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of like, I don't know.
Silliness.
Yeah. It was like, he, like, when his face landed on the pan and it was burning, and he's like, oh, and he's like shaking the freaking spatula in his hand, and then eventually, like, fries his face off the stove, and I forget what other stuff. There was like a whole bunch of, like, I don't know.
When he had two heads.
Basically when he's it's basically Bruce Campbell acting by himself in a room doing stuff.
Yeah.
Which, I know I'm probably going to get a couple haters, but I'm not a huge Bruce Campbell fan.
I'm not a huge fan either, but he does some good stuff here and there.
And his stuff always seems like really wacky and too wacky, and I don't know, not the kind of wacky that I like.
I mean, granted, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
But
especially watching Evil Dead, the first one, he was really good in that.
And he didn't do much, though.
No, but I don't know, I liked it a lot in the first one, maybe because he was more serious. But then once he got goofier, it just got goofier.
Yeah, when he does like the Bruce Campbell goofy character, I'm not a huge fan of. Like, right. He was on Xena.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I saw an X-Files episode that he was on, and he was just like a serious character, and it was fucking good.
When he's serious, he's really good, I think. I gave Army of Darkness a 6.
I gave it a 6.5. So. I mainly, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm changing it to 6 because my. It wasn't as good as Evil Dead 2, and I gave it the same score.
I gave it the same score as Evil Dead 2.
I liked the intro and outro of the movie more. It was like in present time.
Right.
Because, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah, the special effects were kind of cool in the third one as well.
Even though there's a lot of really cheesy stop animation.
That's what I like. I like the cheesy stop animation.
Fighting in front of a screen, projector screen.
I like some of that stuff. I think, obviously.
And I think you will too, people.
And I think,
I don't know.
I think they did some of that on purpose because it's like an homage to Jason the Argonauts and stuff.
Yeah.
Skeletons.
So thank you, Tony, for lending us all 5 of the movies I talked about so far.
Yeah. I think the only one I own is the first Evil Dead on VHS. So I got to watch it in Blu-ray. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, the next movie I also saw with you.
Yeah, me too.
In the theater.
Yeah.
We went.
Speaking of, you said the trilogy, kind of like in the whole.
That's why I brought it up, kind of, but we didn't mention it. We watched 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is kind of a sequel, but not at all, of Cloverfield.
Yeah.
So if you've never seen Cloverfield.
It's okay.
You can watch it.
No, I mean.
It's good.
Sorry. It's okay that you haven't seen it.
Right.
I like Cloverfield a lot.
But I like this movie better.
Yeah.
I like this better than
Cloverfield. I'll have to watch it again.
That's so too. But I only saw Cloverfield once too, so I might have to watch that a second time.
I saw it like 3 times.
Yeah. But anyway, Cloverfield Lane is a completely different story than the first Cloverfield. We could review the first Cloverfield if you want, but I don't really want to right now.
Not right now.
Because I'll probably watch it.
Yeah. Eventually. I was going to say, like, we haven't watched it in years, so.
So Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane. It starts off with the main character. She is packing up her stuff. She's leaving her fiance.
Or is it a fiance or a husband?
Yeah, it's fiance.
Okay, I can't remember.
Because she leaves her engagement ring on the table. And she's driving away. And he keeps calling. And her phone's sitting on the little mounting unit in the car.
Yeah.
And he keeps calling. She looks down, you know, swipes it down or whatever. And the last time she looks at it, her car gets smashed off the road.
Just run off the road.
And that's why you shouldn't text and drive.
Yeah. That's why.
And she wakes up in a bunker.
Like chained to the wall.
Chained to the wall with a cast on. And she's got scrapes.
It wasn't even a cast, it was a brace.
Right.
And the brace was chained to the wall.
Yeah. So she wakes up in the bunker. And she's like, where the hell am I? She's trying to get loose and stuff like that. And then John Goodman's character comes down and says, I saved you. You should be nice to me.
Yeah. And be thankful.
You should be thankful that I saved you. And then he like goes on and tells her that there were bombs dropped on Earth and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
He's telling her this. And he's like, so I saved you, brought you here. Because everyone else is dead, and she doesn't believe him.
Yeah. Well, like when I was watching it, I was thinking, no, not everyone can be dead.
Right.
That can't be possible.
So then he goes on and tell her that there's like fallout, and people get sick on the surface and stuff like that, and you can't leave. And she's trying to get out, but she's chained to the wall, and she doesn't know if she should trust him. And then she finds out there's another guy in the bunker, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she finds out that he's there voluntarily.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted to get in. And apparently John Goodman's character didn't really want to, but just caved and let him come in.
Yeah.
So they're all 3 of them are in a bunker underground.
No one knows who to trust.
Right. So she's like, why would you come down here voluntarily? She doesn't trust him. And he's hard to read. John Goodman's character is hard to read. Like, what his intentions are.
And I don't want to give a lot away because a lot of the movie is suspense and finding out this and this and this. But the closest I'll say is the cool thing about this is some characters will hear something and then another character will hear something else. And like, wait, so this is this? Like, why is this person saying this?
Yeah.
And it's a psychological thriller.
Yeah. So if you want to watch a movie, there's three people in a bunker trying to figure each other out.
Yeah.
For however long this movie is. That's what the movie is, and John, it's amazing.
John Goodman, his character is amazing. Like, right. I heard apparently someone was saying that, like,
there's buzz, that buzz
for an Oscar this early in the year already.
Yeah.
But then the other dude, I don't care for his character too much because right. He's just the type of character he is. Like, oh yeah, this, I'd do this, yeah.
Yeah, but that's why he was.
I know, like, and then she's just like, I want to live. I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a cool movie. And also there's a few unknowing twists that fucking made me drop my jaw open a few times. Yeah.
There was one part in the movie that I was just sitting there staring like,
that happened.
That just happened.
Yeah.
And they edited the movie perfectly because they knew that people were going to act that way.
Yeah.
It was just like,
I love when people
let you react to this. Edited to let you react.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
I like when movies use sound very well, and that fucking movie did.
Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. I want to watch it again so bad.
I gave it an 8.
I gave it a... Let me see. Yeah, 9. I gave it a 9. Nice. This might be the best movie. Well, it is the best movie I've seen all year so far, but it might overall be the best movie I've seen. I'm just jumping the rest of the year.
Oh, okay. Don't watch anything else except your box sets.
Yeah, nothing's going to compare to this. I just love... See, one thing I really love is character development.
Yeah.
And, like, getting to know characters that are real. And this movie is all about the characters, and I love that stuff so much. I loved it. So, yeah, I gave that one a 9.
All right. I have 3 more movies to talk about, and you watched 2 of them. So.
I have. Oh, 5. I have 5 more.
All right.
I jumped around. The next one I watched, I know you eventually watched.
Yeah.
And that was Room.
Room!
Because it was the Oscar buzz stuff.
Not to be confused with The Room.
Not The Room, just The Room. Excuse me. So after watching Cloverfield about a bunker, I felt like watching Room.
You like bunkers?
No, just because there's kind of a theme and I wanted to see
the Scott Pilgrim theme.
I wanted to see the comparison between 2 movies about similar, not similar at all after watching them, but from what I knew about them were similar. But Room is about this girl who was kidnapped.
At 17,
put in a shed and was stuck there for, going on 7 years. And at the point of the movie that we see it, she's been in it for 7 years. She has a 5-year-old kid and she just wants what's best for her kid.
Yeah.
But she's stuck in one room with him and sometimes he drives her nuts. But she can't do anything about it. You get like little hints of who's keeping her there.
Yeah.
And like how she gets the supplies.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And,
you hear little tidbits here and there, like, cause a lot of the movies from the kid's point of view.
Yeah.
So he's like the quote unquote narrator at times. And,
which is interesting because this kid, he's 5. And I can't even remember how comprehensive of shit I was at age 5.
Actually, tell you the truth, I think all of the movie was, like, I just realized that the whole movie is pretty much his point of view because when he's not around, you don't see what's happening.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the main character is played by Brie Larson, who's Envy Adams and Scott Pilgrim, that's all, and then, like, she's been in a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, the little boy is, all he knows is they call the place they live Room.
Room.
Like the location is Room. That's why it's called Room. He's like, I love Room.
And his whole world is based off television, what he sees on television. So he thinks that he's in Room, but everything outside is space.
Yeah. So like she's trying to explain to him Like, because all he knows is Rome.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know anything else. And she's trying to, like, okay, you're five now. I can kind of explain what is going on. Like, there's a whole world out there. And she's, like, explaining to him, like, TV, some of that's real. Like, that's actually happening. And, like, he just is, like, not grasping it. Like, he doesn't fully understand how big the world is. And all they know is this room. And, like, I don't know. It's, they did, I think they did a very good job of trying to, like, create questions and stuff that you wouldn't have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, if you're stuck in this one place forever, like things you never would think. Because, like, I hate to say it, but in the real world, people do get kidnapped and trapped in rooms like that. And, like, you can't fully grasp what they went through.
Yeah.
And I think this movie did a very good job of portraying that.
Uh-huh.
Especially from a child point of view, like that little five-year-old. Because I don't want to give too much of the movie away.
No.
But just like, yeah, the whole, yeah, the kid only knowing room and stuff like that. It's like,
and then there's,
and that kid was amazing.
Yeah.
That kid was an amazing
There's actor. A lot more to the movie, but I don't want to say much because that is kind of the thing that, like, because I knew certain things were going to happen, and that kind of took me out of things. I'm like, I'm just waiting for, like, when does this happen and how?
So see, it's like, I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything going into this movie, and I was glad.
I gave it an eight. I gave it an eight.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. I liked it. Yeah, it was a very different, like, opposite end of the spectrum of feels compared to Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Cloverfield was like fear. This is like touching shit.
I mean, the funny thing is, I had a lot of small gripes with the movie, which I talked to Jason about, but I mean, a lot of it's like just dumb little bullshit things, but there were parts, I mean, I know in with an Oscar movie, you can be like, afterwards, I had so many questions and this, and like, it just kind of kept going and it just kind of stopped. And you're like, well, that's real life. I'm like, yeah, I fucking get it. It's real life. Yeah, nothing's going to be, everything's going to be answered. And like, just fucking.
Not everything's a Disney ending.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to reference a few things, but that's like the near the end of the movie. And yeah, it left me, it was a good movie, but it left me a little empty inside.
Yeah.
But not from just emotion. I didn't see, I know you said like you like actually like wept from this movie. I didn't at all. So I don't know. I guess I'm dead inside. I don't know.
I thought I was dead inside and then I cried.
That's good.
Then the next movie I watched was in my box set.
All right.
And it's called The House on the Edge of the Park.
Oh.
I don't know how long of a title you can make it. But this movie was, this movie was a little disturbing.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this one.
Apparently, this was filmed in 1980, so it's set in the 70s. Makes sense, I guess. Because, let me see. Where did I write? Okay. So, at the beginning of the movie, it shows, like, these two guys who are working in a car garage. You know, and they're like, oh, we're done for the day. You know, they're getting ready to go out to the disco and, like, dance the night away and stuff like that. And then this rich guy comes up in a car, goes, oh, I need to fix my car. And he's like, oh, too bad. We're leaving. We got to go, you know, go dance and stuff. And he's like, yeah, but I need my car fixed and stuff. And it's like, well, you'll have to, you know, go somewhere else because we're leaving. And his friend's like, I'll take a look quick. And he's like, oh, it was just this. And he fixes it like right there. And he's like, oh, how much do you owe you? He's like, where are you guys going? We're going to a party. Hey, we'll go to the party with you, and we'll call it even. And they're like, oh, okay. So then they go up to, like, the hills and stuff where there's, like, this big mansion. And they're like, oh, it's, like, a rich person party, and they're sitting around. This guy's like,
this is at the end of the park.
I guess. They make no reference to the edge of the park at all in the movie. But they get to the party, and, you know, these two guys are, like, greasers. Is that the right term? I don't know.
I think greasers is, like, 50s.
Oh. But I'm just saying, like, they're garage people, like people who work in a garage.
Grease
like
monkeys.
Grease monkeys. That's what I meant. So they don't know, like, these rich people are, like, bringing them there to, like, make fun of them. Not like the schmucks type thing.
Yeah,
but like,
they're like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll, yeah, come along. This so, should
like,
be a good
dip. They get there, they play music, and the one guy's, like, dancing like crazy, and everyone's watching him. It's like, this is hilarious. And they're watching this guy dance horribly.
Just laughing.
And then the other guy's like, wait, these guys are assholes. He realizes they're assholes, and then he has the hots for one of the girls, so then he's like, she leaves the room, and he follows and tries to get it on with her and shuts, and she's like, no. And they get back to the party, and like, oh, we're done dancing. We're going to play poker. And like, okay. So they start playing poker, and as they're playing poker, the one guy, he realizes that the guy's cheating, and he's just trying to take all of her money. So he gets mad, and he whips out a knife, and he says, stop cheating. You're going to let him play another hand, even though he's out of money, and you're going to let him win. And like, oh, okay. And then he's like, well, I got all this power. And then he just starts raping women. I was like, whoa. He's like, I want this girl. He just like rips her top off. And then like, it's just like, he's like, make out with her. And he's like, his friend's just like, yeah. And he like tries making out with her and stuff. And it's just like, it just like, and now we're like getting to the halfway point of the movie. I'm like, where is this going to go? And it's just a whole lot of, and then they like handcuff a guy under the table that's like trying to fight back. And I'm just like, you're one guy and there's, you're outnumbered, but these people apparently don't have strength or something.
Yeah, I'm like, a knife. Yeah.
It's like a switchblade.
Yeah, but still, like, I know. You just have one person, the other people can come behind and be like, fuck you, buddy. Right. You're done.
Right.
It's better than going, hey, let's let him rape people.
But it was like, it was weird. So I was like, I did not know where this movie was going. And that's where it was going. I was like, holy shit. I guess it's kind of a horror movie, but it's like a different type of horror movie than the monster stuff I saw.
Well, he's the monster.
He is the monster. People are the monster. I gave it a 5.5.
Yeah.
I got 3 more.
I got 2.
Okay. And then the last movie I watched in the box set for the month was called Bloody Pit of Horror.
Whoa. Descriptive name. Yeah.
I'm glad I write notes because from the title, I would have no idea.
Yeah, all these movies sound like they can interlock the names with something else.
Yeah. So there's these guys who own a magazine and they get a bunch of models.
Uh-huh.
And they go to this castle and they're like, we're going to take pictures with models at this castle.
Nice.
And, oh shit, what was I saying?
They go to the castle.
And they take like weird pictures. They're like horror-ish pictures. Like there's like one picture they take, the guy's like has his head on a stump and the girl's holding an axe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kind of pictures.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, it's just a guillotine. You know, like, oh, I'm gonna pretend to cut his head off. And you know, they're like taking all these pictures. And lo and behold, things happen. People die.
In the bloody pit of horror.
In the bloody pit of horror. But apparently, there was this guy. Oh, yeah, that's right. At the beginning of the movie, it was one of those prequel, like, little things that happened.
Yeah.
And you're like, what does that have to do
like
with the rest of the movie?
Like a prologue type thing?
And in the prologue part of the movie, they show all these guys putting a person into one of those Iron Maidens.
Oh.
And they just, like, close it, and he dies. And, you know, all the spikes go into him.
Yeah.
And he's dead. And he's wearing, like, a red hood, so you don't see his face when they do it. And they're doing some kind of ceremony. And that was the beginning of the movie. And then it goes to the song. Like, not song, but title.
The song?
the title
it's
sequence.
The body hit the dip right there.
And then, so people start dying and stuff. And the guy's like, oh. It's the Crimson Executioner, you know, the person that died.
Yeah, the Red
it's like
Hood.
The ghost and stuff like that. And he's like going around and like, oh, they take a picture of the guillotine. Oh, the blade falls down. Someone dies. And like, they try to figure out how to stop him, but the guy's just nuts. And he just like and he ends up, the Crimson Executioner just starts kidnapping these people and torturing them in these torture devices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cause there's like, apparently, this thing where he ties the two girls up, and they're standing up, and they're tied to it, and the thing rotates.
Yeah.
And then there's this board that has swords in it, and you just push them, and they get closer and closer, and as you spin, it cuts you.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, like, it starts scraping them a little bit, and yeah. then as he pushes it, it starts cutting deeper and deeper and stuff, and it's like that kind of torture stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is going on?
I've seen something like that kind of in Saw, but yeah. not spinning around with swords.
Like, the swords aren't spinning, but the people I know. Are. So, like, you see the blades coming before they hit you, and you can't do anything because you're tied down. So, yeah, I'm not going to give away the ending, but, yeah, this is the bloody pit of horror.
He becomes a jigsaw killer.
He probably does. And I gave that one also a 5.5.
Right.
I gave a lot of 5.5 this month. Not everything was very amazing.
Yeah. Speaking of
5.5.
No, it's not things that aren't amazing. You watch another movie?
I watched two more movies.
Oh. Batman and Superman.
I liked it. Batman versus Superman. I knew that's what you were like hinting at, but I didn't think that was horrible.
You said something else. Something that wasn't that amazing to me.
Yeah, to you, I thought it was amazing.
Batman versus Superman movie.
As I'm drinking out of my Batman Superman cup.
Yeah. In the Man of Steel movie.
Is the sequel to Man of Steel.
Yeah, a lot of people gave Man of Steel a lot of shit because Superman is flying around destroying buildings and stuff, but like he's new, he doesn't know his powers and stuff like that.
Plus, okay. You have to do anything to stop that guy.
Yeah. So, the beginning of this movie, it's like taking place at the exact same time as the end of Man of Steel.
Right.
But it's Bruce Wayne's point of view. So he sees his building getting knocked over, but he's talking to his friend on the phone and he's in the building.
Yes.
A lot of shit goes down.
So Wayne Enterprises has like an office building in Metropolis.
Yeah.
And there's people in his building as the shit's happening. That's what, okay.
Yeah. But, but he has to help, like, he sees his workers, like, in pain and stuff like that. And, like, because that guy got his fucking beam lands on his legs and shit. And
then he has to amputate
him and stuff like that. But, so that's where Batman gets his
anger
towards Superman. But then you jump ahead, like, 18 months. I'm like, that seemed like it didn't need to happen. But to me, the rest of the majority of the movie was basically Lex Luthor was like, hey, these two powerhouses, Batman and Superman, I should try to find a way to get them to fight because that'd be fun for me, I guess.
Yeah, I don't fully understand the motivation between
Batman
and Lex Luthor. Well, they find a thing of kryptonite.
Yeah.
And he wants to get that, but they won't let him import it and stuff, so he's angry from that. But that has nothing to do with Batman.
So they convince Batman to steal it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But, I mean, without giving it too much away of the movie, but at the same time, to explain the movie, he gets Batman and Superman to fight. Of course, like in comic books, 5 minutes into the fight, they go, we're on the same side! And then,
Well, see, that's the whole thing is, like, Lex Luthor sets up a thing that forces Superman to fight Batman.
Yeah.
So, Superman is going, and, you know, he doesn't want to fight Batman.
Yeah.
So he goes, this is how I'm going to try to... I'm going to persuade him to be on my side.
Yeah.
And then Batman's just like, I'm pissed at you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big fight while Superman's trying to like tell Batman, hey, I'm on your side, but Batman doesn't want to hear it. So there's like, you know, a lot of fighting.
Yeah. But then that kind of leads up to
the big epic fight at the end,
which a lot of people have mixed reviews. I thought the end fight was kind of cool.
I liked it.
It was neat. The problem I had was it felt like Jason says, for the true comic fan who knows a lot of stuff about Batman, there's a lot of Easter eggs in there,
mm-hmm.
showing where things have already happened and certain stories have passed,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. But to me, it was a very slow-moving movie where a lot of things were happening that I didn't know why, because motivations seemed missing out of a few people.
Yeah.
And like some main key players and stuff, and I mean, obviously, it's a setup for the Justice League stuff going on, but it felt like you needed setup for the setup at some points. But, I mean, it wasn't a horrible movie. It wasn't a great movie. It was a movie.
It wasn't I don't know. The stuff didn't need setups. It's just they had them in there as Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And I guess it moved slow for that point of view. But, I mean, you didn't need to understand the Easter eggs to understand the movie.
No. But, like, thinking back to it, I'm like, yeah, this has happened, like, in the first this many minutes of the movie. This happened at this point. But I'm like, there is about 45 minutes unaccounted for that I don't remember what happened in it. You know?
Yeah.
Because by this point, it was, like, an hour into the movie. I'm like, and then all this other happened. I'm like, what was going on before that? Like, I don't remember.
You don't remember what happened in the first half of the movie?
Yeah, like, I mean, Jeffrey
Rush. It was all build up.
It was like, I'm like, oh, you met Wonder Woman here and there, and you got Alfred.
You found out about the kryptonite. Found out about the hard drive stuff.
Yeah. They had a really weird side plot that was with Lex Luthor. I don't know.
See, that's the thing. Like, to me, the Lex Luthor stuff was the weakest part of it.
Yeah.
And
Ben Affleck was great.
Yeah, Ben Affleck did a great job. People were shitting on it, but once you watch it, you're like, okay, I can't shit on Ben Affleck.
Apparently the guy that did the music for the movie quit doing superhero movies because of how much garbage comments he got.
Well, that end sequence fight had weird music.
Yeah, it did, but people were harping on him so bad that he was supposed to do music for the Justice League movies, I guess, but yeah. He's like, I'm done doing superhero music movies. I'm done. And he just left. So that's good. Good job, people. But yeah,
That's the thing. The internet hates on everything. It drives me nuts. I liked it. I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it a 5.5.
I gave it a 7.5. I want to watch it again, but obviously...
Wait a while.
Obviously, because I'm not going to go to the theater and see it again. I'm going to buy it on DVD or something.
Yeah.
Blu-ray. I'll watch it then.
Blu-ray 3D.
Yeah.
So it's coming out enough as a R-rated movie as well.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently it came out in 3D. I didn't realize that.
I don't know.
People are like, oh, I'm going to go see it in 3D. I'm like, unless it came out with a 3D after, because the opening weekend didn't have
3D. I don't know. All I know is we got free tickets to it, so I can't complain.
No. I spent my admission price on popcorn.
Yeah.
And I saw one more movie.
Me too.
And it was a Netflix original, Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Oh, yeah, damn it. That's right. I saw the first 5 minutes of it. I don't know what the fuck was going on.
So, if I can pronounce this stuff. So, Pee-wee Herman came out with a movie that is very similar to Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
The movie starts off, he's at home, like in his hometown of whatever it's called. And he works at the diner, I guess, making breakfast food. That's his job. But
I never thought of Pee-wee having a job.
He's got to pay for stuff somehow.
Shit.
But there's like a whole sequence of him getting up where he's got the like, I don't remember what it's called.
The, god damn it. I know what you mean. The fucking machines.
Yeah.
I almost said Baz Luhrmann. Shit. God damn it. Keep going. I'll think of it.
So like when he wakes up, there's like a whole chain of events that happen. And it's like ridiculous. Like, I can't remember what stuff happens, but like it's all around the entire neighborhood. There's setups all around the neighborhood where there's like skateboards and trees, and like he goes through somebody's house to eat breakfast and like all this weird stuff. But yeah, he ends up going to work and he works in the kitchen making breakfast and stuff like that. And after breakfast gets done, he's closing up shop and a guy comes in on a motorcycle and, I know who the guy is, but I thought he was playing a character. He wasn't. He was playing himself. And it was, Joe Manganiello. The guy who was from Magic Mike and he was the werewolf in True Blood.
I didn't see Magic Mike.
He's the werewolf in True Blood.
I don't know if I saw that season. I saw it.
But anyway, he comes in and they're like, oh, okay. You know, him and Pee-wee are talking back and forth for quite a bit. And they find out they have a lot in common. And he's like, you should come to New York City for my birthday. And Pee-wee's like, okay. And then the entire movie is him trying to get to New York City to go to Joe Manganiello's birthday.
Is it Rube Goldberg? Is that it?
Maybe.
Rube? Oh, shit. Rube Goldberg. Oh, fuck. I don't know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is.
Joe Manganiello?
I don't know.
This guy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I thought it was...
Well, most people listening to the podcast probably do know
who he is. Yeah.
So it's like him trying to get to a birthday party. So, like, as he's going, he... his car gets hijacked by these three burglar ladies, and
Maybe and Detective Diaz.
So he runs into them, and then he runs into these other people, and there's like a whole bunch of people he meets along the way. I don't care. I'm gonna fucking spoil it.
Yeah, Rube Goldberg machines, those machines.
Rube Goldberg. So I'm just gonna spoil the movie because there's not much to it. So like as he's going, he's getting trying to get to New York, and then as soon as he gets to New York, he fucking falls down a well.
What the fuck?
So, like, everyone's like, the news crews are like, oh, this guy fell down the well. His name's Pee Wee Herman. Like, every single person that he ran into is watching the news and like, oh my gosh, I hope Pee Wee's okay.
This seems a lot like All About Steve.
Kinda. And, like, Pee Wee's like, oh, he's a big movie star. He probably doesn't even know I'm not at his party right now. I'm stuck in a well. And he does. He knows that. He's like, where's Pee Wee? I really wish he was here.
So they see him die in Darko and everyone's crying.
So I wrote down, he goes cross country. There's outlaws, salesmen, and Amish people that he runs into. And yeah, it was entertaining. It wasn't anything particularly amazing.
Yeah.
But if you are a big fan of Pee Wee Herman, it's worth checking out, I guess. It's Netflix exclusive, so you need Netflix. But I gave it a 5.5.
All right.
That was the last movie I watched for the month.
My movies are way out of order because they're all over the place. We're talking about these and these and these.
Well, mine were all out of order too, but at least I get the first and the last one right.
Well, this one I saw in the middle of the month.
That's the last movie you're talking about.
And thanks once again to Jesus Christ. I think Tony provided the majority of these movies. We watched for our book club. We read a book. Actually, everyone else read the book. I read the first couple of chapters of it. Called The Hot Rock. Movie with Richard Dreyfuss. Jesus Christ. Robert Redford. but it's a movie about a guy who gets out of prison, but he was good at doing heists. And so his friend who's like, hey, I got this guy who wants to hire us. And the guy's like, I don't fucking want to do this anymore or whatever. I'm probably getting this wrong. And Tony's like, no, he did this. Because he saw it and read it recently. So then this ambassador from Africa is like, we need, our country used to be one country and then it split, but there's this jewel that is important to our people and which is now over country borderline. So these people, like, they say they own it, but we should own it. So I'm hiring you to go and steal that from the museum so we can bring it back to our people. It's like, all right, cool. We'll steal the emerald. So it's like him and a couple other people, and I believe the book is more of a comedy than the movie was, but the movie had like sort of that kind of calm humor to it, I guess. Not calm humor, whatever. I don't know. But it's like it was entertaining and it had some funny moments and stuff with that. But what ends up happening is, like, they go to steal it, but then something happens where they end up losing the emerald and they have to, like, break into this place now and steal it. And then they have to break into this place and steal it. And it – but it's pretty entertaining. I'm not going to lie. I liked it actually quite a bit, more than I thought I would. But it's really hard to describe without telling you exactly what's happening in the movie. I mean, it's an entertaining heist movie with Robert Redford where they keep trying to steal this one emerald. So, I mean, yeah, it's really creepy because in the movie they were still building the two towers. Like, they're still building it. Like, in the movie they're flying a helicopter and I'm like, oh, holy shit, the World Trade Centers are still being built. I did not know that they were being built in the 70s. I think at this point I'm older than the two towers. This is... Because I've stood longer than they did. I'm going to hell. I don't care. but I gave that a 7. So, pretty interesting movie. Thanks to Tony for having me watch like 6 of his movies.
Sorry. I was browsing Netflix, Facebook, and someone's watching the TV or my movie that I just talked about.
So overall, for the month, the worst movie I saw was Batman vs. Superman with 5.5. The best one I saw was either Room or 10 Cloverfield Lane at 8.
My worst one was Gothic with a 4, and the best was Cloverfield Lane with a 9.
Yeah, so I saw off my list was, in case I didn't mention it, City of the Living Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. I watched it just because I watched the first two Evil Deads.
Yeah, and on my list I watched Gothic, Devil's Nightmare, House on the Edge of the Park, and Bloody Pit of Horror.
So, all right. So, if you want us to watch any movies, I know we mentioned a couple movies last month that we were going to watch, but we didn't. So, I got to get my hands on one of them. And then also, Carrie mentioned that one that we didn't watch.
I don't remember the list that we were supposed to watch. So
I have it on my phone.
But if you apologize that I didn't even realize I was supposed to watch something.
And Craig kind of said, hey, you should check this out. But also,
it was probably one we watch in January.
No. Craig. Yeah. Fuck you, Craig. I'm just kidding. No. it was blue something. Blue Haven? I don't know. I have it down here. But email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. That's stuffbyscott @gmail.com. I like hearing about what you guys thought of movies we watched and our varying things, because I know Craig has said, like, hey, I was surprised you guys didn't like that movie, and I really liked it, and stuff like that. So it's cool to hear from you guys. But I think, we're running pretty long. So I think for March 2016, that's a wrap. Do 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 do